Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 45. On today's show, Gavin's in the hunt for trophies. Pirates add firepower to their squad and big Premier League transfer news. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Game Time on Mahikeng 96.7. I was speeding all the way through that and forgot the. I think it's 96.7 FM. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Slew Power, and of course, I'm not alone. Rumor has it Gianluigi Buffon has posters of Mr. Sean Roberts in his bedroom.
True story.
How are you doing,
True
bro?
True story. Just call me Gianluigi. I'm good, brother. Thank you.
And, new Juventus coach did a tell-all interview with me. Pirlo is the new Juventus coach. He told me that he looks up to Teko Modise and wants to be like him when he grows up.
Here we go.
Wow.
Here we go.
Teko, how you doing, bro?
I'm awesome, dude. How are you?
I'm all good, all good. I only know one person with better jokes than me. And his name is not Sean Roberts.
Right. Joke of the day. Joke of the week. Simon, this is for you again. I'm reading a good book on the history of glue, but I can't seem to put it down.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you. Nothing.
Thank you very much.
And from there, we dive straight down into pole position. Well, we've been talking a lot about Sundowns and Chiefs as of late, and we are going to be talking about Chiefs a bit later on. But I think it's nice for us to talk about Orlando Pirates for a little bit to start the show off. And they've just announced Tyson and Hotto. So what are Pirates' title chances next season? We asked you all to send your voice notes through. A few of you came through for us, and here, let's have a listen to that.
Hola, Teko Modise and Sean Robert. This is Bong speaking here. Yeah, Orlando Pirates have made a great move here by signing Tyson and Otto. They will save us from the title draft.
Yeah, good day. It's Polan and Barca from Somerset East. I think the signings of Orlando Pirates have announced now. They are bringing a lot of good positivity and will create lots of chances like the new campaign.
The arrival of Trent Lazio and Dion Hotto will literally kind of bring stability to the team.
Stability to the team, which is something that I kind of like as a transition, because we won't dive into any, let's say, legal issues that any of the players are currently facing. But the team itself has just been going through a lot recently. I think it's fair to say they didn't have the smoothest run in the bubble, but also it's just been, you know, there was rumors of Zimbauer leaving, even though he's been doing pretty okay.
Right.
And it's just been a strange season as a whole. You know, if we go all the way back to the start of the season, coach leaves, they need a new coach, they're struggling. So now we have a guy like Tyson, a champion with Bidvestovitz, Bafana Bafana captain, another guy like Hotto, also a full international with Namibia, coming to this troubled team who will be competing at continental level again. So when it comes to the stability that these fans are talking about, how important is that, Sean, in terms of just letting them breathe a little bit of fresh air over here?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It's bizarre how Zimbabwe has been linked with a move away from the club, and he has been linked with a move. I think what he's done has literally transformed the club in the past 12 months, where they were 10 months ago to where they are today is completely two different teams. But yeah, someone like Tyson is massive. He's a hell of a pro. Pros that are quite rare these days to be involved in the PSL. He adds value, whichever team he got. I had the privilege of playing with him at Ajax, and I could see he just had a great future ahead of him. And he's such a youngster then. But yeah, I mean, Otto as well, down the flanks, quality players, and positions that Pirates needed to fill. And if they wanted more stability, they still need that goalkeeper, I think. They still need that sort of goalkeeper to solidify that spine that we always talk about, just to have your spine sorted. And Tyson for sure brings that stability into not just the defense, but he's such a leader that it carries through to the rest of the team.
Now, let me ask you this, because Tyson, it seems like the easiest fit, where he goes right in at center back, partners Happy Jele. But when it comes to Hotto, it becomes more of a who do you pick sort of situation, because you've got Lorch, you've got Vincent Boule, Gabadinho Mahango. And so who does he walk into that starting 11?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know if he's... is he a foreigner? Has he been playing in South Africa for X amount of years that he's South African now? Or he's got citizenship? Because that makes a big, big difference as well. But for me, he's a starter, for sure. I know Lorch hasn't had the best of seasons, so you've got to automatically ask yourself, would he sort of substitute Lorch in a way? That's obviously the wrong word to use.
Would you bench Lorch?
I would bench Lorch.
Mm-hmm.
I would bench Lorch. And you can't use that as a heading now. I'm just saying, would I bench Lorch for Hotto? And if you put their two seasons up together, yes, I think everyone would say yes. But I'm not saying Lorch is a fantastic player. He's just struggled this season.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But good question there. I see what you did this week.
Deco, I mean, I can throw the same one at you, because here's the thing. He mentions the seasons that they've had, right? So I checked, and Hotto has 10 goal contributions across 28 games. But of course, the season prior, 2018-19, he had a breakout season, double-digit assists. Let me not say breakout season, but a fantastic season. And then you compare him to Lorch, who had very minimal goal contributions last season. How do you see what Zimbawa picks his midfield three and his front three? What do you see him doing next season, Deco? Do you see him also just relying on a guy like Hotto over someone like Lorch, who's been troubled, or do you think he'll keep the faith in Lorch?
Hey, Slu, you're going to put me in trouble, eh? I think he'll find a way. I think I like Coach Zimbabwe and what he's done at Atlanta Pirates. I think he'll find a way in squeezing in Hotto. But also you need to understand that at Wits, Hotto was playing under a different coach and a different system. And there were a lot of things that were required from him that are working well for the team. And then you come into Orlando Pirates, it's a team that doesn't rely on crosses. It's a team that plays in between the pockets and relies on combination play. And then the question will be, would he be able to play in those pockets? Is he comfortable enough to play in that kind of situation? And if you have to compare him with Lorch, I think it's unfair. I think Lorch has proven himself how great he is. Yes, he had a bad season. Everybody's there to see. But I think these are players that can coexist in the same starting 11. That can bring more excitement, more energy into the team. Because I think Hotto will come in as a person that needs to prove a point, that he can also deliver the same results in a big team like Orlando Pirates. But the challenge is Orlando Pirates is very, very big. The demands are too high. You need to play at that level every week. So sometimes you see players that come, especially attacking players that come from not so great big teams that come to this stage where the demands are too high. Sometimes it becomes too much for players to bear. But I just wish Hotto luck. But I think they can coexist. And with Tulane Fashuai, we all know his presence, his leadership. I think we've spoken about it at length so many times that Tulane Pirates, not that Lehepi is not a leader, but they need more leaders into the team. That helps also with them being a stable team, because obviously they signed Hotto and Tulane to reinforce the team. And I think at the back there, people start fighting for their position. And I think that's what Tyson brings, because I think also Nyauza as well had great games as well. So we can't automatically assume that Nyauza will be the one that goes out. Anything can happen. We'll all see what Zimbabwe has in mind. But like Sean has said, I think they still need to enforce in terms of the goalkeeper. I think that's where they don't have enough depth. Everywhere else attacking options, they're there. It's a matter of time where Zimbabwe can actually find his good attacking team and stick by it. And I believe that Orlando Pirates stand a better chance next season, because this is a team that's just, it's not going to be a new team, it's just going to be a continuation of the understanding of the guys and the coaches as well. I think Orlando Pirates stand to be a team that is very, very, very threatening next season and very exciting as well.
Teko, just a question for me. So we all knew what Hotto brought to Wits, and they definitely played a different style of football.
Yeah.
So do you think that Otto is an interesting signing for Pirates? Do you think it's a needed signing for Pirates, given that he's not used to the style that Pirates play? And do you feel that this, like you just said, it's not a new team, but it's certainly an improved team with the signings being made? But just back on Hotto, what do you think of that? Do you think it's an interesting signing? Did you see it coming, or like basically, can you see him add value?
Look, if Vitz wasn't in the situation where it was, I wouldn't say this one coming.
Yeah.
But with Thulani, yes. With Hotto, I think he brings something that Pule doesn't have, that Lodge doesn't have, which is that speed and those down the line, crossing the ball. He's a typical player that you can use whenever you play a counter, maybe a team that plays on transition. And he's good at that. At Vets, you could see he was very good at that. But then you come into a team where Orlando Pirates is a team where they play so-called small teams. The small teams who have to retreat, and Orlando Pirates will have more of the ball, so therefore you're required to be able to play in between those spaces. My question is, would he be able to adapt into that situation and be a better player by adapting to that? Of course, we know his strength. Would he show us the other side of him that we've never seen? Because of Vets, those were not required. Vets, it was straightforward. You play down the line, you bring in the crosses, you do what you have to do. At the Orlando Pirates, there's versatility. He might be having to adapt to play on the right, because I've seen him play at Vets. Whenever he plays on the right, he doesn't feel comfortable, always go back to and play on the left. So you could see it that Pirates, they have Pule that plays on the right to try to cut in and try to have a shot at goal. Will they be playing on the right as well? We don't know. We've seen Marco, how he does on the left is very, very brilliant. His understanding in Memela. Mm. And Maela, sorry, is very, very good. Mm. So he just said, I think on the right has always been a problem. Yes, Pule is a good player, but Pule can also play as a 10. Mm. But you probably need maybe Hotto to come in on the right to bring that proper balance, because I feel like on the right-hand side, they never had a proper balance, because you could see they're always changing their right backs. There's never been a proper balance on the right. But it would be interesting to see how Hotto fits in within the system. But for me, my advice to Hotto is be able to adjust to what the team requires, be able to adjust what the team requires, because of sometimes we as teams, they'll buy you because of your potential or the quality that you have. But when you come into the team, you require different things. So I'm just hoping with his experience, his international experience, he'll be able to adjust to that and be able still to be productive as he was at Vets.
Yeah, agreed.
Interesting stuff. We will see how Pirates do next season. They finished strong after a bit of shaky performances in the bubble there. And of course, we know the run that they went on through January, February. So them being in the CAF Confed is also interesting, because it's just an extra competition for them. I mean, I know that it's the first time in a few years that they aren't CAF Champions League. But after the start to the season they had, they'll still be very pleased. I think we can move swiftly on to the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by international news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Kurt, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Kurt Lynchies.
We are all good. We are all good. So we start with this whole international news desk will actually be all about transfers in the Premier League. So Thiago, after so much speculation, at one point Arsenal was speculated, but I think it was always going to be Liverpool that signed him. And he's finally a Liverpool player, and we got a glimpse of him against Chelsea. What do you make of the move? How do you think he's going to fit into the system there?
Yeah, I think that, Slew, I think that this is a massive signing for Liverpool. It obviously goes without saying. I don't want to just repeat what's being said out there, but it really gives Liverpool a different dynamic in that he allows the team to play with a totally different style. You know, under Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool have been about pace and power, about outrunning, about pressing, about outworking their opponents. And that is, you know, hugely demanding both physically and mentally. And I think Thiago coming in allows Liverpool to play at a slower pace. They can dictate games and thus demand less from their players, specifically Salah and Mane, who are, you know, both fantastic world-class players, but also both 28 or 27 now. So they're getting on. They can't run around like they could you know, 3 years ago, or even just last year. You know, it's very, very demanding on their bodies. So I think it's used for the dressing room. I think he's a player that comes in and other players want to impress. They want him, you know, they want to win him over. They want Thiago to look at them and go, oh, this guy can play. You know, Henderson wants Thiago to look at him and go, oh, this guy's not a bad player too. So, you know, he came on against Chelsea when they were a man down, and I don't think that we can read too much into that specific performance. It doesn't give us a real indication of what he's going to do at Liverpool, but I just think it's prime time for a midfielder his age. You know, Xavi, Pirlo, Scholes, Iniesta, Xabi Alonso, Modric, all these types of midfielders peak in their late 20s, early 30s. Thiago's 29. He fully understands his role. He's much more mature. He knows exactly what's expected from him in the position he plays. And I can't see it not being successful.
So let me ask this, because you also tweeted that players like him are in the Xavi mold, the Iniesta mold, where this is now their peak. And so I ask about Liverpool specifically. Last season, there was one point in the season where it looked like they might go for 5 trophies. Yeah. They were still in the Champions League, still in the FA Cup. And then that kind of all slowly dissipated and it was just the league.
Yes.
So do you think this Liverpool side is going to be stronger than last season?
That's a difficult question. I don't know if they'll be able to retain the Premier League title. I think they'll obviously challenge on all fronts, Champions League, League, Cup. I do believe that they will look more pleasing on the eye in terms of the football that they play. Because like I said, this gives Klopp a whole different dynamic. It really does change the system. They can play through the center. Liverpool don't usually play through the center. They press and they counter press and they break out wide and there's a bit of link up, Firmino drops, and they usually go from either the right or left. And I think that this gives them a completely different dynamic where they can dictate games. So yes, I do think that it's going to be able to, the system will be able to preserve the legs of those players, as I alluded to earlier. So I don't know if Liverpool are going to be stronger than they were last season. Winning the Premier League by as many points as they did is a phenomenal feat, and I doubt we'll see that again. But it's definitely going to keep them, you know, in the running for all of these trophies, undoubtedly.
Okay, just a question for me. What do they pay? 20 million. That seems like a steal, hey?
20 million, yeah. In the last year of his contract, so 20 million.
Yeah, okay.
Deco, you're a centre mid yourself, so I want to ask you the question.
Yes.
Thiago, you've seen him in the Champions League. Is he immediately in the conversation of best centre mids in the Premier League?
No, not a chance. I think he still needs to prove himself. As much as I know his quality, I've seen him in Bayern, I've seen him in Barcelona as well. I think the EPL is different. I think Kurt said it perfectly, because when he came on against Chelsea, because I was watching that game, they were one man down, and it made things look easier. But it was very, very nice to see how Liverpool played, especially in the second half when he was introduced. You could see now there's more of guys getting involved in terms of play, because Liverpool, ever since Klopp came in, I think it was a team that was very dangerous when the opponents has the ball, because they'll press you and create chances from there. And then now they have another guy that can actually use the ball very well, which they've been struggling to get. So I think it gives other attacking options as well in the midfield to play, because I think they were struggling to find a person that can play those passes in between the lines, because now you've got your Keita might start playing, might come out of his shell and start being the Breeden that he was. And then for me, it'll be very interesting to see also with, what's his name? The guy that played centre-back. That
Fabinho.
Fabinho. Yeah, to see Fabinho and Thiago in the midfield. It'll be very interesting to see how Klopp will use those players very well. But I think it brings less stress into the pressing team, because of now Thiago can actually pinpoint those passes with them being there without having them to run so much and press so high. And I think it's a great sign from Liverpool. But I think that's a game against Chelsea. I don't think it's a game that we actually can start looking at Liverpool like it's going to be, you know, one-way traffic. Liverpool's going to bring all those type of things. But I think it's just a glimpse of what we might see. But I think we'll actually start in Liverpool whenever they play against the bigger opposition, because Chelsea is just, I think it's school of excellence, where there's too many young boys, there's too many young guys. It's a new team. They're still trying to find themselves. And Liverpool took advantage of that.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I'm scared. Arsenal face Liverpool next Monday. Terrified.
You always bring Arsenal up. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the next match.
Every single week.
It's literally the next match.
I don't get it. No one even spoke about
Must
Arsenal.
Must I talk about 2 weeks from now who Liverpool face? No one cares. Okay, up next we have Gareth Bale moving to Spurs. And let me tell you something, Kurt. Yep. You caused a whole hoorah with your tweet about whether or not he's a legend. I got a whole earful from an unnamed Real Madrid fan. I won't call him out on his name. But I got a whole earful about how Gareth Bale is immediately a legend. All those Real Madrid players are legends. But he's signed now for Spurs. Tell me about what you think he brings on his return to North London and how important he is to Jose Mourinho's season.
Lou, before I do that, can you just tell me, that fan that you were talking to, was he from South Africa?
Yes.
Then he doesn't decide who club legends are in Spain. but on the Bale thing, I think, look, I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the Premier League, but I am skeptical. Look, I think that Spurs absolutely had to go for it, especially on a loan deal, especially with Real Madrid willing to share his wage. But I do think that many of the people screaming about this transfer with excitement haven't watched him play over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been great. You know, he's extremely injury prone. He isn't the explosive player he was when he left for Real Madrid 7 years ago.
They've signed him injured.
Yes, I was about to say, Sean, he's actually out for a month. Yeah. So he's returned to the club injured. And I think we should expect him halfway through October. You know, he's not as explosive. He's not as quick. Bale's never been a player who controls games. He's a player who operates in moments. And, you know, he's lost that pace. And I just feel like it could go either way. I also wonder how he'll get on with Jose Mourinho, whether he's serious enough to really knuckle down and try and get back to that level he was years ago. So I'm skeptical. I'm excited. But yeah, man, I can't wrap my head around... People, you know, they still look at Bale as this player he was 5 years ago, where he was extremely, extremely quick and powerful. He's not that player anymore, and he hasn't been for some time. So it's going to be interesting. I think that on paper, you know, Bale, Harry Kane, Son, it looks very, very dangerous. But who actually knows how many times they'll be on the same field together, you know, at the same time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it unfolds. But I am skeptical and I'll reserve my judgment for now.
Now, you know, there was this whole thing with him last season about him, you know, having a bad relationship with Zidane.
Yeah.
Playing golf, that was the big joke. So let me ask a guy like Sean, you know, off the field antics are something I'm sure that you're fascinated by. Now he's going to be with Jose Mourinho, right?
Yeah.
And he's still got the same sort of injury concerns. Do you think that the circus is going to continue with Bale, or do you think that this is going to be a perfect meeting of minds?
No, I don't think either. I don't think the circus is going to continue. I think this is a new lease of life for him. I think he's been made a bit of a mockery lately. I don't think people take him seriously as they used to, because don't get me wrong, he was world class. He really was. Hence, he signed one of the biggest contracts ever. But you're not going to get away with that with Mourinho, you know, with whatever he wants to do. But I honestly, this is his boyhood club. Not a boyhood club. I think he signed when he was 17 years old, you know. So he owes a lot to the club. He owes a lot to the fans. I can't see him acting the way he's been acting in Spain, to be honest, because Spurs made him. I wouldn't say he owes something to Spurs, but there's something special with Spurs in him, and I hope to see the older Gareth Bale.
And so I ask you, with the older Gareth Bale, because I watched that Spurs demolition job over the weekend just now, where they got five off the back of four Harry Kane assists, four Son goals, and the pace of Son was terrifying. So if we get peak Bale, that means down both flanks on the break, it's Kane in the middle and just like a world of pace. So with peak Bale, where do Spurs finish in the league?
Top four.
Oh.
Top four.
Yeah. With peak Bale.
Mm-hmm. With peak Bale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Is that okay? Is that okay with you, Kurt?
Whoa, Shawnee.
Jeez.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I just look. Okay, I guess what you're saying is with peak Bale. And of course, with peak Bale, they have a chance to be in the top four. I just don't know if we'll see peak Bale. That's my argument. But yeah, for sure.
So, okay, thank you. Right. So your reaction actually wasn't warranted in any way.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And then lastly, from the Premier League, from transfer activity to a lack thereof, we look at Manchester United.
Drag me.
Whose struggles continued. Opening match lost to Crystal Palace.
Convincingly.
Even more embarrassing is the fact that a former Manchester United player, Wilfried Zaha, was the one at the center of that, I won't call it a demolition job, but it was an embarrassment.
Of course.
So, Kurt, walk me through your feelings as a United fan. And also, if there's any, I mean, there is some whispers of a left back coming in, I've heard. But what's happening over there at Old Trafford?
Well, yeah, my feelings are that of rage and fury. I think that, look, Solskjaer alluded to it after the game. The club, the team's short on personnel. Luke Shaw talked about it after the game. He said the club needs new signing. Ironic, because he's one of the players that needs to go. United were utterly pathetic in that game, and they've been pathetic in the transfer window. So yes, we've been linked with Alex Telles, the left back from Porto, Brazilian international, who's a good player. But you know, he's also been linked with PSG, so who knows how that's going to go. I just believe we actually went backwards the way we started this game against Crystal Palace, the way we lined up. If you compare that to the team of last season, we've gone backwards. The team was a lot weaker. I mean, you know, you could get away with having Daniel James as the only weak player on your side. You can get away with Fosu Mensah being the only weak player on your side. But when you have Daniel James, Fosu Mensah, Luke Shaw, Lindelof, McTominay, all in the same side, you know, you're just asking to be beaten. And I don't have anything against those guys personally, but I just believe that they aren't really good enough to be in a title challenging team. So, you know, I like a lot of those guys. I want them to do well. And I do believe they can be carried if they were around stronger players. But yeah, man, I don't know what's going on, Slu. I'm hurt. I'm really hurting. I just don't understand where these signings are going to come from. I see that we're linked with a new player every day now, and it's just poor planning. I see a lot of people are now, you know, rallying behind getting the Glazers out and Ed Woodward, and yeah, I have no doubt that that's also affected the team, the negativity around the club. But you know, also if you look at it from a footballing aspect, the players haven't had a preseason. You know, they look tired. They look very leggy. They look fatigued. And I just don't see a way out right now. But, you know, just a few months ago, we were raving about how Manchester United were finishing in third and going on to bigger and better things. So I do believe there are a few signings away from getting back to their best. But those signings need to happen soon, because once again, we are playing catch up, losing our first game.
I see. What's interesting is that they're probably going to be starting Dean Henderson, the goalkeeper, against who they're playing.
Are you talking about the cup match in the week?
The Luton game,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're going to be playing him, because I know David De Gea is, a lot of fans want his head chopped off at the moment. For me, he's still world class, but Henderson's a proper goalkeeper. Yeah. He's really, really good.
Very exciting.
Interesting.
Yeah. But Kurt, can I ask you a question?
Yes, Tegel. Sure.
Who told Maguire that he is a good footballer?
Oh, no, Teko, don't even get me started on that, honestly, because then we're going to have to go for another half an hour.
Maguire and who's that guy, Lindendorf, or whatever his name is, they are horrible.
You see, like, you know, a lot of people will say things like, well, you know, when you're Manchester United, you have to pay 80 million for a player like Maguire, but you absolutely don't have to do that. If you have a sporting
800,000, yeah.
If you have a sporting director, someone who's in charge of these things, someone who knows and understands what the team needs, understands football, you don't pay 80 million for a player like Maguire. You actually don't pay anything because you don't target a player like Maguire.
Yeah.
So it blows my mind, man. It really blows my mind. I can't believe that there are Harry Maguire apologists out there, and I really wanted Lindelof to succeed, but he's too slow. He's too slow. He's actually good on the ball, but he's too slow to react In terms of his running, I can't. Sorry, I'm having a meltdown.
Let me swing a question through to Deco, because you know, from watching the match, you almost forget that Manchester United are in the UEFA Champions League this season.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have to come up against Europe's best. So, Deco, where do you see them finishing, or how far do you see them progressing, rather?
Chief, like I've just spoken about the two centre backs, how horrible they are, and that makes De Gea also looks bad. And also, I think for me, Manchester United needs like a proper, maybe central midfielder, the guy that can actually be reliable and be able to allow, you know, I think there's more attacking options, but I don't think defensively the team is good. And that's where the problem is, because you can't just rely on the attacking options and then defensively you suck. And I think with those two center backs, both of them are very, very slow. And Maguire thinks that he's more comfortable on the ball than any player at Manchester United. That makes me very, very uncomfortable. And he always gets into trouble whenever he has the ball. He decides, I think, when shit hits the fan, that's when he decides what to do with the ball. And with that quality, especially for playing for that team at that level, I think his quality is not there. And I think maybe right now there's still a chance for them to sign maybe one or two players for them to help them within the team. Because I think once they start, you know, getting into understanding or whatever the case might be, because I've seen how Solskjaer was after the game. You said these players look tired and all that type of stuff. But I understand that they were playing that's all. I think maybe next game they can pick up. But with Maguire, Lindelof, I don't think that's a good combination at all. And playing against the best in you, and you have a Champions League, it becomes a problem, Chief, because that's when you have your best strikers playing against your two top defenders, apparently. But I don't see them. I don't see them advancing any further.
Yeah,
Kurt, before I let you go, in terms of Manchester United's season, I mean, there's exactly 2 weeks, pretty much left of the transfer window. Dortmund seem adamant that they're keeping Sancho. And now Bale has gone to Tottenham. So what other options do Manchester United have to add some firepower?
Are you talking about players like that we've been linked with?
Yeah, transfer-wise.
Well, I saw that we were linked with Ismaïla Sarr from Watford, who was relegated last season. I think he's been valued at 40 million. I know Liverpool were linked with him too. He is a right-sided attacker. I think he's not a bad player. I just don't think that United... I think United should be looking for better. I really do. And then in terms of centre-backs, I'm not sure. I haven't seen any names linked in terms of centre-backs. I think Solskjaer has actually said that they aren't after a centre-back, which is completely bizarre. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Alex Telles and a winger. I know it's Sancho. That's the priority. But then it's been Ismaïla Sarr after that. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the International News Desk. Of course, we'll see how the season progresses. It is still early days. Maybe we're vastly over here.
It's early days, you know. For sure. Yeah.
Could be. But thank you very much, Kurt. Have a great day.
Cheers, gents.
Thanks, Kurti.
Cheers, man.
Away, my buta.
And from there, we move on to a story that we didn't get the chance to cover last week because it came, the story broke after we recorded. But luckily, it's a developing story still. Gavin Hunt is now the Kaizer Chiefs head coach. Since last week, we've seen both Dylan Shepherd and Arthur Zwane added to the technical staff. And, you know, the excitement is building. I think the only thing that they're waiting for right now is the verdict on their FIFA transfer ban appeal, because then they'll know if they can sign players and add them to the squad now. Because at the moment, because of the transfer ban, they can technically sign players, but they can't register them for the current season until the two windows have been served, which is a lot. Let me ask you this. What does Hunt bring in terms of his coaching style to Chiefs that can transform them ahead of the next season?
Yeah, it's a good question, Slew, but I think Teko will agree with me here that what Gavin Hunt is he's a winner. He will tell the players what he expects of them individually and as a team, and why he wants to win and how he wants to win it. And usually he gets what he wants. He's that sort of coach. You cannot be lazy under Gavin Hunt. And those who are will be exposed. And don't be surprised, see them on the transfer list. But also what he's very good at, he's known to give youngsters a chance. So there's a lot of good youngsters coming through the ranks. Injibulo Blum, for example, at Chiefs, that he will be given another chance because he's done well, but he's still getting there. Mm. And he's got ambitions. You know, I'm not saying Middendorp didn't, but Gavin Hunt has ambitions. He wants to win. He's done it at Wits. He's done it at Supersport. And I have no doubt he will do it at Chiefs. So, and I do think they're going to have to make a few more signings. They've got a bit of an aged squad. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got his eyes on the players that he wants, if he can get them, obviously with a transfer ban. But what Gavin does bring to Kaizer Chiefs is that he's used to winning and he will want to continue winning for sure.
On the chance that they do not win their transfer appeal ban, and he has to essentially keep everyone that he can, expectations trophy-wise for this coming season?
Look, I think the squad that Kaizer Chiefs have been together a long time. With a coach coming in like Gavin Hunt, changes will have to be made in terms of how players approach the game, how players approach training. And if they do adapt, Gavin is the type of coach that can get the best out of every single player. Mm. So Slew, without a doubt, I don't care if he makes his signings or not, but if the players do adapt to Gavin, they're in for a chance again, for sure. 100% for sure.
All right. Yeah. Deco, similar question. I mean, Gavin, we've spoken about him being a winner. You have to fight for the badge. That's the type of player that he's looking for. A lot of the fan reactions that we've gotten in for this move has people saying, these players aren't fighting for the badge. These players don't know what it means to play for Chiefs. Do you think that that's something that Gavin can instill in players of this age?
You know, Slu, that thing of fighting for the badge or knowing what it feels like or knowing how important it is to play for Kaizer Chiefs, I think it's subjective. Mm-hmm. Because once you don't win, people start saying that. You know, they'll start pointing fingers as you don't understand the magnitude of the team you're playing for. But in a nutshell, we all know that Kaizer Chiefs is a big team and it's supposed to be winning trophies as well. So I think that's where the problem is. And with Gavin coming into the team, I think all he needs to do is bring in the winning mentality that he has. That's it. And by doing so, of course, you know, not everyone within the players of Kaizer Chiefs will be happy, because most of the players, probably those who are whiners, they won't like working with the coach, because we all know how the coach approaches the game. And I think the complacency as well will change in the group. I think there's a lot of changes that Gavin will bring, but he's not scared to do those type of changes. He's not scared to use the new broom to sweep that dressing room. And I think to the fans as well, I think the style of play shouldn't be their biggest concern or their biggest focus, because this is a team that wants to win. This is a team that is desperate to win. And for one to achieve that as a coach, there's a lot of changes that you need to do. You can't go on with the same squad and expect the different results. And I think he's been given a chance right now when he comes in before the new season starts. Of course, there's going to be he's going to be very under pressure, because there's a lot of expectations from him. But he's a coach that knows exactly what he's doing. And yeah, man, he's a fresh of breath air. I mean, he comes there. The post-match interview is going to be fantastic, because Gavin doesn't swallow his words. You know, he will say it straight that, you know, the players and because we've seen how Kaizer Chiefs coaches are. You know, we always try to protect the players, always do, which is great, which is fantastic. But sometimes I think players should take responsibility, and Gavin does that. He wants players to take responsibility. And we've seen and we've spoken about this as well, that Kaizer Chiefs needs more leaders on the pitch. And the problem maybe that with him is his attitude. He will instill that in the players. Plus, he's got assistant coaches that will help him with Dylan, knowing exactly what type of a coach he is. I think he will be a bridge between the players and him. He'll make the players understand what type of a coach he is. And Arthur will reemphasize on the badge that everybody speaks about, knowing exactly what it is to play for Kaizer Chiefs. But I think the biggest factor in this deal is Gavin bringing in that winning mentality and the carrying and moving forward with players that wants to carry forward. And those who find it very difficult, because number one, training sessions are going to be very difficult. They're going to be hard. And if you're a player that is lazy, that doesn't want to work, that you always complaining. You're not gonna like Gavin because Gavin is not there to make friends. He's there to achieve what he has to achieve, and we've seen him doing so with so many teams. So I think it's gonna be a big change in the dressing room in terms of the attitude, and that's what the Kaizer Chiefs needs.
How much is riding on this transfer appeal ban? Because we know, I mean, FIFA took a year and a half to issue the ban in the first place for Dax. We don't know how long they'll take, but how important is it? Do you think that Gavin is looking at that process and going, man, that could reshape the entire season? Or do you think he's going, I can, regardless of what happens, I have this core team and I'll be fine with that?
I think it will be given a mandate. I think those are discussions that were made within the contract itself whenever they had a meeting. I think with that ban still being in place, maybe if it's still there, they can't sign players, I think he'll be excused. I think there's a lot of ways the way he can find an excuse, because now he needs to work with what he has. And we've seen what he has. It's not good enough. But if it happens that he's able to sign, I think that's where the expectations will be higher, because of now he'll be acquiring players that he knows that will come in and stabilize the team. And I think we all know that Kaizer Chiefs has been leaking defensively. It's been a problem with whatever system they've been playing. They've been using 5-4-3 sometimes, but there's still a problem. And I think Gavin will be maybe the first thing that he wants to sort out. And we know how he approaches the game. He plays productive football. And I feel sorry for the guys that are crowd's favorites, like Yon Changase. If you're not going to pull up your socks with Gavin, you're not going to play at all. And I think it goes to every player that is within the Kaizer Chiefs. Gavin doesn't care who you are, whether you come a billet, whether you live with Manyama. If you're not going to pull your socks with Gavin Hahn being in charge, trust me, you're not going to play. And sometimes you need such coaches to change the fortunes, because we can't always babysit the players. Because once you babysit the players, now the players start owning the changing room. As a coach, you lose the changing room. And I think Gavin is there knowing exactly what is it that he's supposed to do. He knows the pressures that come with coaching a team that is big as Chiefs that hasn't won since Kuvukiland. So he wouldn't want to be fired based on the player's performance. He will make sure that guys that don't want to work with him, he let them go so that he can have the players that he wants to work with. That's what he does everywhere. He goes to SuperSport, he did the same thing. He get to Vets, he did the same thing. I'm not expecting any difference from Kaizer Chiefs. It's just that now the difference is this band that is just there on the door that it may be distracting him in terms of his plans. But I strongly believe that if that appeal goes through and then Kaizer Chiefs are able to sign players, you can see a different Kaizer Chiefs this season that will be playing differently with a different mentality. And that will be very interesting to see.
Onwards, we move to 10 quickfire questions. 10 quickfire questions is where we get somebody on the line and put them on the spot. This week we have...
Hi, my name is Thatane Ditshokwe, SuperSport United player. This is my 10 quick questions.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Gabuza.
Gabuza, of course. And then who's the flashiest dresser?
Around Aubrey and Grant.
One of the two.
Yes.
And then who's the worst dressed?
Me.
All right. What is the worst mistake you've made in a match?
I think it was last game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last game against the Cape Town City.
What did you do?
No, there was a miscommunication. And then
I see.
All
right. At SuperSport United, if you were to call anybody to come and have a beer with you, who would you call?
Jules.
What is your favorite footballing memory?
Oh, no, it was the national team setup, Zebras Botswana.
And then what is the best goal that you've scored in a match?
Against South Africa, Kusafa.
What type of goal is it? Describe it.
It was a header on the last 80 seconds of the game.
Eish. All right. What is your favorite car at the moment?
Audi.
R8.
Yeah.
What is your favorite local food?
Pap, Siswa, and Moro.
Nice. And then, last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Dubai.
Have you been yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. But blessed are those who fly to Dubai. And from there, we move on to the Secret Footballer. Secret Footballer is where our guy, Sean Roberts, takes a look at the back page of Kickoff Magazine, where an anonymous individual tells a story about something that's going on in the league. What you got this week?
Yes, sir. I read this in the kickoff. He said, I think we've touched on this in one of the previous podcasts, but once you stand up and raise your concerns, you'll not be backed up by any other players. And I don't know if it's a South African football thing where the players seem to be scared of the powers that be. So I certainly remember when I played in Europe, you could stick up for yourself and the players are the asset. But here, you seem to be victimized when you stand up for the players. It certainly happened to me when I was here. I'm not going to mention where, my favorite club.
Cheaper
United. And Teko, have you been down this rabbit hole before where you've sort of stood up for the players and not necessarily yourself and you've just been thrown down, you know, you've been targeted? Or has that never, I mean, have you come across this at your career in South Africa at all?
I've came across such thing in all the teams that I've played for. Mm. I think it's a South African thing where as players, the only thing that you're supposed to do or they're expected to do is to play the game. That's it.
Yeah.
Whenever you speak out, it seems like you're disturbing the team, you're bringing, you know, corruption into the team. And I've faced that so many times.
Yeah.
And with me was, it's because of who I was. So because I'm very influential, whatever that I say, people that are supposed to listen to the message, they take it like I'm bringing corruption into the team. I think that's the biggest problem that we have in South Africa. Hence, I always say that South African players, we don't have a voice because whenever we speak, it seems like we are disturbing. We don't know what we're talking about. Nobody wants to listen because we're not allowed to speak. Nobody has an opinion. So we just want all you need to do is just a tool. You are a tool. Do what you're supposed to do. And that's been a problem. That's why you've seen so many issues. Players come out later in their careers than they speak about the issue that disturbed them. They speak about the issue that they couldn't deal with in their teams. And I think, you know, as because these are the people that you see them most of the time. These are like your family. And you should be in a position where you can talk to these guys. You can be able to reach them and have whatever issues that you have sorted out. Because not all the time the issue is about money.
Right.
Sometimes are the smallest things. I'll complain about the meal. You know how important the meal is when you're in camp? I'll complain about that. I'm like, guys, can we have more variety in terms of the meal? Because not everybody wants to eat this thing.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And still, it's within the healthy, whatever the case might be. But it will look like this one wants to do his own thing. Not
sure.
Understanding that at the end of the day, if I don't eat, I won't be able to perform better. Not that I want Nando's or chicken monouskous. I want stuff that I know for a fact that will help me in the game, but can we stop eating pasta every day? But I just say that like most players, I think it's a South African thing. I think we don't give it a chance to hear to listen to the players because that's how it is.
Sure.
Do you think sometimes it's the fans as well? Because I have seen, I mean, Teko, you yourself, I mean, you retire a legend and we know your accomplishments, especially looking back. But there was a period between Pirates and Sundowns where it seemed like fans were turning on you. Is that something that you felt?
Yeah, I felt that. But I understood when I was in it because sometimes as a player you play to reach a certain level or standard, and then the expectations becomes more higher, and then once you don't see when people don't see that, they become very agitated and start being against you. But I understand that because most of the time in when that was happening is people being emotional, not being factual. Because when I moved from Orlando Pirates to Mamelodi Sundowns, people were just not happy with me moving from Orlando Pirates, irrespective of the reasons. People never wanted to hear my reasons. People didn't care. Until the book was out, people started saying, oh, now I understand. But that's like, what, 10 years later?
Mm.
So now people didn't care why I needed to move. They were like, okay, I'm betraying the team. It's one of those things because of we in South Africa, we don't have a voice. Not that I wanted to leave because I forced my way out, but like everybody knows, I wanted to go somewhere where I can better my career.
Mm.
And also at Mamelodi Sundowns, it wasn't because Mamelodi Sundowns fans were against me. It was just that thing that when you play against a team that liked you when you were playing for Orlando Pirates, now you're playing for a different team that wins so much, it becomes a problem. So player teams will be like, I don't like him. I used to like him. I still meet people that tells me I liked when you were playing for Orlando Pirates. And in my mind, I'm like, but I didn't win anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now, whether you like me at Orlando Pirates or you like me at Sundowns, it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, as a footballer, I'm playing to win trophies, and Mamelodi Sundowns gave me that. And after I left, Orlando Pirates won trophies. Do you want to tell me that it was me? It wasn't, but it's just that I won trophies somewhere else. Imagine that I stayed at Orlando Pirates for all those years and I didn't win anything. We wouldn't be having this type of conversation anymore. I don't want to, for me, is at that situation where I was, I didn't want anybody to feel pity for me. Hence, I kept quiet about it. And I moved to a team that I think that they will give me a fair chance to play and forget about what's happening off the pitch and focus on the player at hand. And that's what Mamelodi Sundowns did. And I won everything at Mamelodi Sundowns. And I'm forever grateful about it.
Yes, sir.
But not every move can happen that way. But it's just that for me, I was very fortunate because of, this is a team that I was playing for that everybody said when I left Orlando Pirates that I'll never win anything. Mm. So now, you never liked me in the first place if that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're saying that about me, which means even when I was playing for Orlando Pirates, you never liked me in the first place because you should be wishing me good things.
Yeah.
But now when I was Sundowns now winning stuff, they were like, yeah, you were cursed. What Mamelodi Sundowns has helped you. Chief, everything that I won at Mamelodi Sundowns, you can check even the pictures. I'm not wearing a Warmer's bench jacket. I was playing.
It's
I'm not wearing a beep or something. No, I was playing. So I've earned every single medal that I got at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Amen, brother. And
yes, sir. So let me leave it like that.
It's just like it reminds me of two things. I remember, I'm going to switch sports for a second. When LeBron left the Cavaliers, went to the Heat, and people were burning
his jerseys and stuff.
They were like, LeBron, and then he ended up coming back anyway. So hey, now you
he came back anyway, and he won them the thing.
Yeah, the championship.
And but, then
yes,
but it's just that with Slu, it's like, as much as the fans are important, right? But I think because there's lack of understanding between the fans and the players and the team as well, there will forever be that. You'll forever find a team that will boo the player without understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
Like for instance, with the Gabuza story, of course it's not the show for it, but Gabuza was booed at Orlando Pirates where he threw the jersey into the crowd. That's a bad thing to do. But imagine what drove Gabuza to that point where it could have been stopped earlier on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like there's so many things within the teams that we could stop from earlier on. As much as the fans are important, but you must understand who are the assets.
Yeah.
The assets are the players.
Yes, sir.
So if the players are not playing, your fans can't come to the game. So you can't give fans so much power beyond the players. It's impossible.
Yeah, nah. Agree on that one right there. I think that's a pretty much a perfect segue into this week in football history.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 1957, Barcelona inaugurated the Camp Nou with a 4-2 friendly win over a Warsaw Select team. The stadium's original name was Estadi del FC Barcelona, but it has been known from the beginning as the Camp Nou or New Ground. The club only officially adopted the name in 2000, though. This week back in 2005, former Leeds United and Newcastle defender Jonathan Woodgate, signed by Real Madrid for £13.4 million, marked his debut in style by scoring an own goal and getting sent off for two bookable offences. Brilliant stuff. This week back in 2014, Kaizer Chiefs beat Orlando Pirates 1-0 to win the MTN 8 title for the 15th time in their history. That's how we wrap up this week in football history. From here, we will move on to a PSL playoffs reaction. So, Leopards stay up, Ajax stay down. Ajax Cape Town will spend another season in the GLAAD Africa Championship after a disappointing PSL playoffs campaign. Black Leopards had 4 wins from 4, and they will stay in the Premiership. TTMFC had 4 losses from 4, but will come up to the Premiership anyway. And heartbreak for Ajax Cape Town. So, initial reactions, you're a former Ajax Cape Town goalkeeper yourself, Sean. What went wrong?
Oh, man. So devastating, hey? You know what? You got to look at the top, Slu. There's always something happening at Ajax at the top. There's always fighting at the top. And this is why they are where they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've got.
I mean, there was...
I can go into that. I'm going to make more enemies, but that is the reason. They had a very good...
Be careful, Sean.
Well, I mean, we saw there was like coaching changes and people fighting. And...
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's just infighting. And it's just... Ajax by far had the best team in the NFD this season, by far. They should have cleaned up and they didn't. Look, I'm not too sure what happened in terms of the coaching department, but you know, to change coaches halfway through a season when you're fighting for your life, it's a tough one.
When it comes to the team, they still went into the bubble with a solid lead. I think it was about 7 points. Mm. Then it kind of all fell apart. And it's been a few years now of Ajax trying to just break that threshold and get into the league. Do you think we will ever see the Ajax Cape Town of old?
I don't know, Slew. I don't know what's going to happen to Ajax now, to be honest. It'll be interesting because I know, obviously, Ajax, the owners of Ajax Cape Town don't fully own Ajax Cape Town. Obviously, Ajax Amsterdam have an invested interest in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Ajax Amsterdam will stay involved for the next current season. So it'll be an interesting one. I hope this isn't another club that's going to be sold.
Mm.
That's I don't know if it's worth the headache for the owners of Ajax to keep on going and not getting what they feel they deserve. So it's sad times, Lou, for me personally. Mm-hmm. I love Ajax. They put me on the map in South Africa, and but yeah, it's disappointing, man.
I'm asking you a tough question, Sean.
Yeah.
So let's say instead of getting sold, new owners came in, injected some cash, and just decided, you know what, if you can't beat them, buy their status, and bought Ajax Cape Town status to the PSL. Would you welcome that?
I mean, what do I say to this? I mean, you know what? I don't welcome any of it, but it's happening.
Yeah.
So I'll just adjust to what happens to you. Like, I don't know what to say to that.
It's diplomatic.
I'm going to adjust just like the rest of the PSL is adjusting.
All right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if that happens as well, Slew, to be honest. So it's such a weird one, man. It's very upsetting for me, as you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
I hope what I've mentioned, I hope they don't sell. I hope, I just hope the best for them, to be honest.
Deco, I have a much, I'm gonna throw you a completely different question and focus on Black Leopards. So Black Leopards, after all their struggles, and we know that they've kind of lurked around this area of the Premiership for a while. They fought for their survival for a few times now. When it comes to the structure of relegation and promotion, do you think that it is fair for a team that finishes 15th after 30 matches for them to still have another chance to then survive? Or do you think that bottom two should just go down straight?
Slew, if I was part of that team, I'd say it's fair that we get a second chance to redeem ourselves and come back again to the PSL, because we all know how important it is and the big money it's in the PSL status. But as a football fan, I've always said this, guys, three in, three out. Finishing klaar, because there's teams that are in Glare Africa, where, you know, you're fighting there, number three, you know, you never get promoted, or you always go to the playoffs, you never get promoted. I think in the PSL, for us to up the standards of the game, I think if this thing of fighting for relegation, I think if three goes out, I strongly believe that the standard of football will go up. We'll never see the same teams fighting for relegation over and over again. And it'll be very interesting also to see other teams from different, you know, cities to come in from Clare Africa that have been competing in that division for so long. They've been trying to come into the PSL the right way, not buying the status, not buying themselves in, but the right way. I think it'll give them enough chance. Because yeah. I believe all these teams in the PSL that are fighting and coming back, they have enough chance. 30 games is a lot. I've seen a team that got relegated and then they were brought back into the playoffs and they still got relegated. So we get relegated twice within the same season. So it didn't make sense to me at all. But I understand those are the rules. But I think for us as football in South Africa, as a league that leads in Africa, I think we need to change certain things. We understand that we can see where it's going, that people are just buying statuses. Okay, fine. How do we improve the standard of football? Because not everybody that comes in with their statuses have quality players. So how do we improve football? Three in, three out, no playoffs. That'll be very interesting because of now you know that there's no time for playoffs. Then it gives all those teams enough time to rest, because Black Leopards have got no time to rest. They don't have enough time to rest.
Yeah.
They don't have time to actually go and sign players and beef up the team. So it becomes another struggle for Black Leopards again.
Yeah.
You're going to see them in relegation again. So to cut that disease, my friend, You know, just go to the roots. Yeah. Three out, three in. Let's not cut on top where you're doing a brush cut. No, go to the roots and cut it out.
Yeah. So yeah, three in, three out. As Steko says, it will give teams the push to come up from the GLAAD Africa Championship. One could say it would give them the drive to come up into the GLAAD Africa Championship.
Wow. Wow. Right.
Yeah, you didn't think I would get it.
Damn. This car of the week is from Raheem Sterling, who is sporting the beautiful C63S AMG. Beautiful. 0 to 103.666 seconds. Excellent handling. Excellent handling and sexy as hell. Those awesome leather box AMG seats. There have been a few complaints that it's quite a harsh ride, but it's so much fun to drive, you won't even care. I'm a huge Merc fan, but paying over $2.5 million for this just seems a little bit steep, but I still give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the type of pound sterling that Sterling has... Catching my puns over here.
Oh, man.
I'm killing it right now.
So bad.
Then you'll be fine. But if you don't have his type of money, you're going to need some motivation to get it.
So. Right. This week, motivational quote is from Coach Darian, who just married our good friend Shai from Soccer Laguna.
Hey, congratulations, Shai.
Congratulations, Shai. He says...
Oh, Shai is married. That's great.
Can I say my motivational quote, or you want to continue?
Yes. Life is like the ocean. It swims left and right.
Life is only really a reflection of what we allow ourselves to see. This is why it is so important to maintain a vision.
Nice.
I like it. Thanks, Coach Darian. Coach Darian from Orlando Pirates.
Fantastic. Big ups. Oh, yeah, and that's why Shai has also now moved up to Johannesburg.
Correct. She's left us.
Yes, she ditched Cape Town.
All right.
And that is how we ditch the show. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for joining us. I've been your host, Lou Paho. That has been Sean Roberts.
Awe.
And that has been Teko Modise.
Awe.
And we shall see you same place, same time next week. Peace.
Yep.
Peace out.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Hlangana Khona.